Red. It's awesome!
Flash. Hello everyone, welcome back to Reddit Talks Clash, the podcast hosted by the moderators of r/ClashClans. Today I'm joined, as usual, by Congressman Cool Rick and Spencersaurus. I am Sam, or u/RedRecon, and we have a new home. This is our first ever episode on Discord, using the Discord stages feature. Obviously anyone listening on Spotify or whatever will not notice the difference. But for all you new Discord people, hello, it's great to see you, and hopefully we also have some people from Reddit who have made it over since the death of Reddit Talks. But yeah, we got a great episode today, lots of things to discuss, some builder base, some changes to raid medals, lots of fun stuff. So Rick, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm tired, but yeah, I'm good. I'm very good. Spencer, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I had a really nice nap right before this, so I'm ready to go.
Oh, you did. Ah, that sounds really lovely. Well, should we jump right into it? So, we got some new builder base info in the last 2 weeks, courtesy of Judasloth, who I think flew out to see Darien to get this info. So, very much appreciated. And Spencer, I think maybe you could run us through what was kind of semi-announced here.
Yeah, let me pull up my post really quick. So, if you don't already know, Judo Sloth posted a video on his YouTube channel. He flew all the way to Finland to try to get some information out of Darien about Builder Base 2.0. And essentially, he set up a challenge for him where he listed three things that might come. And two of them were false, and only one of them was true, but we didn't know which one. And if you beat him in a battle, he would take away one that was false. But unfortunately, Judo only beat him once, so he only took away one of the options, leaving us with two options of what is to come to Builder Base. And I'll read it as it is in the video, that there will either be, quote, more battle machines or a brand new hero added in Builder Base 2.0. So what do you guys think about that?
So more battle machines, like how does that even work? Are we just going to, are they literally just going to add multiple battle machines, almost just like a troop, like you have four battle machines in your deployment bar? Surely they won't do that.
Everyone's going to have a second builder starting at Builder Hall 6. So
yeah,
like it wouldn't, it's a little unoriginal, but it still wouldn't surprise me just to do like a little mini battle machine for Otto to drive around.
Would it be, are you envisioning it as the same as what we have now with the Master Builder, or are you thinking it would work slightly differently?
Well, I mean, like, there's a couple options what it could have been. Darien's always like a little cryptic when he gives hints too.
He likes so, speaking code.
I think it's more likely that we get a second, like, totally new hero, honestly, but also, if it is just like a mini battle machine for Otto that we get at Builder Hall 6 when we unlock him, like that also wouldn't surprise me either. But it could be like a selectable option battle machine a lot of people are speculating at. Or realistically, what I think it is, it's going to be a whole new separate hero. Still for Otto to pilot, but probably something totally new. Like, just I've been trying to think thematically what really fits with Sells ammo when they introduce new stuff, and they always want things to fill a new niche or have a new unique role, and Otto is kind of like the supporting second builder over there. So I really think if you wanted me to put money on it, I'd say we get like more of a support hero for Otto.
Adding a new hero seems way more likely than just more battle machines. I feel that'd be such a huge cop out for what is being branded as essentially Builder Base 2.0. You know, you can't just add more of the same. It's got to be an entirely new direction. Also looking at Document here, it seems like they all said that, quote, we are going to change some functionality of how the game economy functions based on progression. Now, I'm wondering, is that what we already know? Is that in reference to how the loot system is going to work? Or is this something entirely different?
Yeah, I was actually pretty confused about that. We're going to change the functionality of the game economy based on progression. That's the key word, progression. Like, I didn't really understand what that meant. What do you guys think?
Well, it feels like we already know what's happening with the game economy, don't we? We know that the loot is going to function differently, as in you're going to get elixir off defenses and god off attacks. You can only have a... My Google has just decided to turn on.
I thought it was like your mom coming in to yell at you.
Oh, okay, well, anyway, moving on. So we know elixir is going to be given from defenses and obviously gold from attacks. So I feel like then higher up the leagues, the more that you get. So it feels like we already know how the game economy is going to function. So I'm really confused if Darian just forgot that they'd already announced that, or if it is something we're completely missing here.
I don't know, like, progression and builder base is going to be, like, maybe they're thinking more along the lines of giving us actual real leagues instead of just, like, every 100, 150, whatever trophies it is, we move up, get a little more loot. I don't know.
Hmm. Did they already say they were going to add leagues to builder base? I feel like they did, but I might be making that up now.
Didn't they, Spencer? You would know.
Yeah, they announced that leagues will be coming to builder base, and different leagues will determine how much loot you get per star, and then your star bonus too.
Which is essentially how it is now, right? I mean, I know they're not labeled leagues, but, you know, the higher you climb, the more loot you get. So that's not exactly a radical change.
It's actually pretty funny. Everyone always says, like, there's no leagues in builder base. There are 39 leagues. None of them are named. Because you have to be able to gain that different loot as you gain trophies to help upgrade your base. But yeah, I'm excited for new leagues. My main interest, actually, I didn't see anyone mention this, is if we have leagues in builder base, will that change the appearance of the clan chat when we talk in chat? Because if you already know, your home base league, home village league is right next to your name when you chat, when you use the clan chat. So if we have builder base leagues, is our builder base league going to show when we're in builder base and using the clan chat? Or are they just going to put it right next to the home village league? I'm actually pretty curious on how they're going to go about doing that.
Yeah, in my head, it would be most logical to include both of them in your chat. I don't know if that would just look a bit clunky and unattractive. Because equally, I feel like it would look maybe also unattractive if your icon kept switching, if you were just flicking between home village and builder base. So I'm not really sure what the best solution is. I mean, or they could just literally go, well, we think home village is the most important, therefore your home village badge displays, and that's the end of it. Yeah, because it's still meant to be the main base, whatever they do with this update. So it could be that actually you're thinking more than Supercell is on this kind of thing, and we're just not going to get anything.
Like, speaking of Spencer thinking more, thinking too deep into this
Spencer shouldn't be allowed to think half the time.
You noticed a little detail that you thought might be a hint in that video, didn't you?
Yeah, so if you watch that video, Judo and Darian are sitting on a couch with, like, a coffee table in front of them, and something seems really out of place on that coffee table. This might be stretching it, but on that coffee table there's these two boxes of these figurines. One is of the Valkyrie, and the other one is of the Mega Knight. And obviously, they have tons of those all over the headquarters. But I just thought it looked really out of place just sitting on the table in front of them. And they made sure it was in the frame. So I'm thinking, like, hey, maybe that might suggest that a future troop for Builder Hall 10 or a hero coming. And when I mentioned this to Rick actually said, what about a Mega Valkyrie? That would be interesting.
What would a Mega Valkyrie do in your mind? I know whatever you say will probably be completely wrong, but I'm kind of interested now.
Oh gosh, I didn't even think past the Mega Valkyrie name, so I really don't know.
I mean, they're obviously looking to add kind of abilities to essentially all the troops in Builder Base now, as that demo we saw, what is it, months ago now? At least a month ago, where it, you know, acted more like the battle machine, how you had an ability every few seconds. So, I mean, straight off the top of my head, if I think Mega Valkyrie, I kind of, my mind is drawn to Super Valkyrie, and it could be quite cool if their ability was to drop a rage spell every time you press on them. Might be a bit overpowered, but, you know, I think the option is there.
I mean, Builder Hall 10 is coming out with this, with whenever this update drops. So we're definitely going to get some kind of new troop. It might have just been random swag on Darian's computer desktop, but it also, I don't, like, maybe they've done hints like that before. We did some interviews at the World Finals. He had a coded t-shirt that said basically 15 in October or something. I forget exactly, but they have dropped secret hints like that in videos before.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I saw it. I remember they did the Tunnel 15 date thing on the shirt, and I was like, this is definitely something they would do again with, like, the boxes, and, you know?
I mean, didn't they even technically, quote, leak kind of the new loot attack finishing screen? That was the most bollocks way of saying it. The attack finishing screen on Build-A-Base in that BBC documentary that was done on Supercell Games in Helsinki. There was a bit of a new Build-A-Base shown on their computer screens there. So honestly, I think Supercell do just have fun trying to leak the updates and seeing who notices. Yeah, I can guarantee there are hints in videos for previous updates that no one has actually noticed yet, and they just kind of put a load of shit in to see what people pick up on. I mean, now Spencer's watching all of them, and they're never going to get away with anything, but, you know, I'm sure they had fun back in the day.
They just did another article. There's been a lot of articles coming out about Clash of Clans. They interviewed the game lead, Stuart, and like you said, I was like looking at all those pictures trying to see if maybe they're hinting at something, but no, there's nothing in the background. Nothing that I could find, so yeah.
You have way too much free time, don't you?
No, I'm actually so busy. It's incredibly crazy how busy I am.
I literally refuse to believe it.
Yeah, I don't want to get much off topic, but I am a full-time college student with a full-time job and a full-time girlfriend, too.
Well, as opposed to part-time. Well, clearly you still have enough time to make really stupid suggestions and ideas, like your proposed updates to the Gold Pass. Spencer, would you like to run us through this crash course in game design?
Disclaimer, this was not a proposed change. I made this graphic simply because Clash Royale, if you guys don't already know, they are revamping their season pass system. And essentially what they did is they raised their normal pass by $1, and they actually kind of nerfed it a little bit. And so I was thinking, hey, what if something like that came to Clash of Clans? Because if this proves successful in Clash Royale, then it's highly likely that it's going to be coming to Clash of Clans. So I made a concept. Let me go ahead and link it in this chat. I posted it on Reddit, and oh gosh, I was not expecting the Reddit community to be this angry about it.
You all will not have seen it because it was downvoted into oblivion.
See, for some reason, Spencer, you didn't preface this post with the fact that it was a concept of what it would be like if the Clash Royale pass was implemented to Clash Clans. Instead, you completely proposed it as if you thought this was a better idea, which was really, really silly. Like, I can't lie, that was a questionable choice.
Yeah, everyone was assuming that I really supported this change and I wanted it to come to the game, and I understand why they thought that, but oh my gosh, it was really funny. I was kind of trolling people in the comments too with this new sticker I added.
Like, Clash Royale is really trying to wreck their game with this update, and it's a lot more than just adding a diamond pass. So, like, we can back up, because there's a lot of people who are getting confused. What Clash Royale is doing is they messed up a whole lot of the free-to-play benefits that people had and the gold pass. So, like, they blamed inflation and they raised the gold pass price $1. Whatever that happens, it, like, yeah, you know, prices raise over time. But then they also took the Book of Books out of that pass, and they took something else out of the free version. So The free pass got worse, the gold pass got worse, and it went up $1. And they introduced a $12 diamond pass that has, like, oh, here, all the good stuff that you might actually want is in the $12 pass.
And it's also worth remembering, I think, that they were only up in arms like a month ago anyway, due to the proposed level 15. That was, I don't know if that's coming in this update, I haven't really been following, but coming at some point soon. So yeah, I don't really know what their plan is. As r/Clash Royale seems to be an open revolt. I mean, I haven't seen many people revolt better than this, apart from maybe the French. I mean, it's quite impressive.
I know. So, yeah. Anyway, Spencer was trying to see, like, hey, what would potentially a Diamond Pass look like in Clash of Clans? And people are not for it.
Yeah, my goal was to make, like, the most realistic option of if something were to come to the game, what would it be like? Because I've seen, like, Diamond Pass concepts in the past, and they're all, like, super OP with way too much stuff. So I kept in mind, like, hey, I got to make this really realistic. And so I tried my best, and I think I did pretty well. Just looking at it, the main takeaway for the Diamond Pass that I made in the concept was a scenery, a clan house, and I'll add the seasonal builder, too. Those are the three main things in the Diamond Pass. And I feel like that would raise the value $5 more, just those three things alone. But then again, I am known for liking my cosmetics and spending my money in the game for those things. And I know you guys don't really like that.
I mean, I don't buy the gold pass for the skin, right? Like, half the time, I won't even remember what the skin is. I buy it because I really resent how long it takes to get through the game, and a 20% reduction on all my stuff is so, so handy. I mean, at this point, things like runes aren't quite as helpful, as I'm just finishing off cannons and arch towers now and some mortars, so I'm never needing loot. You know, I never need Dark Lakes. Lots of books are relatively useless to me, but regardless, it's just all that stuff at some point is so, so helpful. And it feels like the skin is a nice bonus. So I don't think I could ever justify spending an extra $5 to just get more cosmetic stuff. I mean, also just the thought of spending £120 every year on Clash of Clans just for passes really irks me, and I think I would really question myself if I was doing that. But to me, cosmetics does not make it more valuable. And I know you've upped the boost percentages and whatnot, but even then, I just don't think I could reconcile myself into spending £10 a month on Clash of Clans. I mean, back in the day when I played Fortnite, you know, that I'd spend £8 on a battle pass, and that would last me multiple months. And I don't think £10 every single month is, that wouldn't sit well with me. No matter really what was in it.
So, like, the gold pass, I mostly get it just for one gem donations, and then you do get, like, about $5 worth of gems if you sell everything, plus the skin and season bank stuff, and, you know, all the other stuff. It is about a $5 value, and if you're gonna look at it that way, I one gem donate stuff all the time, so it's worth it to me.
Yep, same.
Adding more cosmetics to it, I don't really care. But if they do end up raising it a dollar, and hopefully not doing the Diamond Pass, but I think, I don't know, it wouldn't surprise me, but I do hope they introduce another dollar of perceived value to it, because it's not like, you know, hey, like, inflation happens, like I said. But it's not hurting their bottom line to, like, toss in an extra magic item or something, you know? Give us an extra 5 mil season bank, or, you know, up the percentages another 5%. You know, I don't know. So something, just give us a reason to be okay with paying a dollar more, kind of like they just did with the shovel after the big raid metal loot nerf thing.
We'll get on to that in a sec, but I was wondering here, has the price of a gold pass ever changed for you guys?
Nope.
No, not in America, has it? There has been price changes in euros, hasn't there?
Yeah, and pounds. It was, so when I started running the gold pass around 2020, it was £4.99, but then I enjoyed a lovely little bit of £4.49 for about a year. But a few months ago, that got reverted to £4.99 again. So I was just wondering if they were just doing that on a, you know, global basis, but clearly not. You guys have, it's always £4.99, is it?
Yeah. I think a lot of that's like exchange rates too, different tax changes over the years.
I'm sure it's bound to go up one day as just inflation always increases, but not yet.
Though, does inflation apply to literal virtual items? I mean, I guess you could say, obviously, the real world has inflation and super employees need to live, but it's not like Rick said that they can only increase the price without increasing what's in it. The content inside it is literally virtual stuff, right? Like it's completely made up. It doesn't hurt them to, if they want to jack up the price, add a bit of extra stuff in, really. But yeah, Rick, do you want to give us a little bit of a introduction to the other change you just brought up then?
Yeah, like I just mentioned, it doesn't really seem all that bad by comparison because we got the raid metal at the same time as the Clash Clan, Clash Royale trash that's going on. So like people were really, really upset with Clash Clans for like a day, and then Clash Royale news dropped, and like obviously I was just like, hey, this not so bad, really, in the end.
Yeah, I know. We seem rather peaceful over here now, don't we?
We can no longer buy unlimited loot with raid medals out of the trader. It's going to be one, or as of right now, it's one type of each loot per week. So, I don't know. Like they've said, it's to ensure the longevity of their content, but also like the longevity of their content is really gated by upgrade times, not so much loot. As long as you're at least a little bit active, no one's really being held back from maxing their base because they can't get enough loot.
I mean, realistically, you still buy training potions, right? Like, there is. It's obviously convenient for people who don't really attack, but it's actually probably better value to buy the training potion and wham out a sneaky goblin army for an hour. I mean, everyone was really up in arms about it. I've never bought loot with raid medals, and I was like, I mean, I guess it's more convenient at lower town halls, right? Because it's setting in Legends League, my storages get full anyway.
I think the main thing that it affected was everyone's alts, at least mine, because I know for all my alts, whenever I log on, I gotta use all my builders up, and I do that by spending as much raid metals as I can to get
Yeah,
them going.
right.
And that was the main thing I did see in the comments too, all over Reddit was, well, yeah, my alts aren't gonna be able to progress as they have been for the last few months. But in hindsight, yes, unlimited loot was a little bit OP, I'd say. A change that I was expecting was maybe three a week, but I was definitely not expecting one a week. I still feel like that's a little bit on the lower side.
One is a kind of a kick in the boys compared to what we've had in the past. It definitely is like it's my alts that will suffer too. I didn't buy a ton of loot on my main, but I did keep my forge going with raid medals exclusively on my 13 and my 12, and those I'm not gonna be able to do that anymore. No, I think it was more about builder base loot than anything else, just because they are trying to reinvigorate builder base and. The way the builder base economy has been, like they haven't cared about builder base in years. So introducing a way for people to advance their own builder base with raid medals was cool. Now I think they want people to have to play it again. You have to take away the way too easy loot in order to get to encourage people to actually go try it once it's new. I think that was the big motivator. They haven't said that one way or another, but that's at least my suspicion.
Yeah, though of course it is sweeten the deal by adding a shovel into the trader shop for 1,000 raid medals, which it's not gonna please us, it's not gonna make up for the people who are really quite pissed off over this change, but it's 50 gems for 1,000 raid medals, and I don't quite know what is. Does anyone know off the top of their head about expenses, the raid medal conversion rate once you go over the 5,000 limit?
It's so bad. It's like one gem per like 100, right?
Immediately having that shovel there is just better gem value. There's that.
I did ask Darian if the shovel's gonna always be in the trader, and he said no, but it will like it will come back, and they're gonna mix in other things that haven't been there in the past as well. It's a nice little compromise that they gave us, and I really do think. Like they didn't tell creators about that beforehand or anything. I think it was a little bit of damage control, like hey, like we took some value out of the trader shop, and let's put a little value back in it.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice of them to at least compensate. And, you know, like you said right at the start, looking at Clash Royale, I now feel very thankful that the biggest negative change happening to us is literally not being able to buy free loot. Yeah, I feel like our problems are slightly offset in comparison. Can we see Supercell going down the kind of Clash Royale route with us anytime soon? You know, do we think we're going to get a shittier gold pass and a diamond pass at any point, or are we feeling relatively safe?
There's a really good game team currently working on Clash of Clans. Stuart is the game lead, and his blog post he's written, you can just tell, like, he really cares about the game.
I mean, you are in love with Stuart, aren't you?
Oh, I love that guy. So until he leaves, we are in a very safe position, I think.
Though ultimately, Stuart doesn't drive Supercell, like, business decisions. He is a game lead, right? So, or game dev, or whatever he is. So, if push comes to shove, he probably could be forced into a position where they have to go, right, you know, the executives want more money. We're going to have to do something about that. Then also, I think they hopefully will look at Clash Royale and think, okay, we're probably going to lose money over this, realistically, because people are not going to spend money to buy a better pass, more money to buy a better pass, or, you know, they might stop buying the gold pass now the value has been deprecated. So it could actually be quite good that Clash Royale is being almost used as their guinea pig, and we will probably be saved of the worst effects, let's say, of Supercell's money grabbing tendencies.
Next thing we wanted to talk about, right, Spencer, you did some analysis on from the Queso Cup, didn't you?
I've been wanting to do something like this for a while, and I saw my YouTube feed that the Queso Cup Golden Edition was doing their Swiss stage, and so I said, yo, what if I made a graphic that showed the usage rates of pets? Because we might think we know the meta, but I was actually not expecting the results that I saw. And so I watched every single replay. I recorded every single pet for every single attack, and the results came back. And I was actually pretty surprised. What do you guys think of it?
I was very unsurprised. I'm now more curious as to what you were surprised about.
The unicorn with the queen, 100% usage rate. I was expecting that. Same thing with Diggy. And
yeah.
I was expecting the owl too, but I wasn't expecting the phoenix on the king. I've been using Frosty on the king, and I always thought that was the best option. And I always considered the phoenix to be good for any hero at any time for any attack. It would like kind of equal out for each hero. But that was definitely not the case.
I've been a long time phoenix user on my king. I'll be honest, for months I've used phoenix on my king because the extra value I find you get out of him, it's actually extremely good. For example, if my king is going to into a compartment which maybe has a scatter shot, some Tezzers pop up a skelly trap, and I want it to kill the enemy RC. Let's set this up as an example. The king is probably going to die, but with his phoenix ability, he will probably kill the enemy hero, and that is incredibly, incredibly useful. And like the Frosty is good, and I think there are situations where it will work better. For example, if he is being used maybe to funnel the hybrid, right, and you just want the frosty mites to slow down defenses as he's strolling along, you're probably not taking lots of damage where he's going to die quickly, then I can see Frosty as being more useful. But I think Phoenix really is clear on them, and I don't think the Phoenix is better on any of the heroes. I think it's not very good on the Queen. I don't think you get much more value out of it. The Warden, I think, is pretty useless. The RC is the only one I can see any merit for, but I think the Diggy is so powerful, being able to stun literally everything, and as the RC is the only defense targeting hero, it obviously works much better on her. And I think having, you know, being able to stun any defense all the time is much more worthwhile than getting 8 seconds of extra life about her. But yeah, on the whole, nothing really shocked me, though that is probably because I use Phoenix on King. So seeing Phoenix on King didn't exactly raise any alarm bells in my head. Rick, what did you make of it?
I think seeing like 0% and 100% were a little shocking. I would have thought there would be like a small amount of people that might have switched up the unicorn. But I mean, like thinking about it too, like I also can't think of any reason I'd pull the unicorn off my queen. Really,
no.
It'd have to be such a specialized niche attack. Like also with like the warden, I kind of expected to see more poison lizard. No, it was like 30 something percent, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you've probably got to remember though that so many people use Lalo upper echelons of Clash Clans esports. I mean, I didn't watch the KSO Cup Golden Edition, so this is purely based on watching lots of previous tournaments, but Lalo is still such a dominant attack that having Owl as the primary pet for Warden doesn't seem too outlandish, at least in pro play. You know, it would be interesting to see a statistic for the game as a whole, but yeah.
Like, I still always call it a bat. Like, all the time I call the owl a bat. I probably said bat, like, 10 minutes ago. But seeing, like, the split between the owl and the poison lizard, a lot of that's going to be ground versus air attacks. But not always, too, because you still get a lot of use out of the owl in the start of Warden Walk, too. So it's not always exactly like ground versus air, but if you do see the poison lizard, it is probably a ground attack.
Yeah, I did see when I was watching on the replays, I saw the poison lizard was used with a warden walk hybrid attack for every single scenario. So I feel like that's the only attack that the poison lizard is used for, from what I've seen.
A warden walk hybrid.
Yes.
Did you mean them separately, or?
I'm pretty sure I saw them together.
A warden walk and a hybrid.
I could be wrong, but that's what I remember seeing.
Yeah. Well.
But based on your reaction, maybe I'm completely wrong. But in any case, you would want to use the lizard on a warden walk.
Yeah. Like if you're starting your warden walk like near some heroes, It can be useful. Like, it's nothing I do like in Legends ever, because you can't really count on that. But, like, yeah, I have seen Warden Walk start with the lizard when it's near heroes.
I'm kind of linking to what you just said, that I'm still surprised you can't change pets mid-attack. I kind of thought that would be such a thing about them, that you could, a bit like switching your siege machine, you could switch your pet. You can't switch your army, obviously, in a legend attack, but you could switch up your pets. And I literally think it's a feature sometimes, and I kind of forget it's not. Does that seem silly? I mean, I feel like it should be a thing that you get to switch your pet in the attack.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're really going to be switching between, like, moving your Phoenix around, or, you know, like the owl and the poison lizard. So I don't know how useful it's going to be, but I don't know. Like, it would be cool, but I don't necessarily see it as like needed.
No, possibly not. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like one of those things that should be a thing, yet I have created it in my head and it's not actually real. But I think we got through most of the stuff we wanted to talk about today. Oh, actually, no, there was the new event calendar that was released today. I had to confess, I haven't really looked at it that much, but is there anything exciting coming up?
Yeah, let me go ahead and post that link. So we just got the calendar, and it's pinned on the sub, and the theme is Dark Ages. And so when I post this, it was really funny. A lot of the comments were, oh my gosh, I thought this was talking about Dark Ages of the game, as in the game is going downhill and something like that. I thought that was really funny. But yeah, I feel like this has been a long time coming theme. I've seen this theme requested for years and years, and it seemed like we finally got it. And I do want to point out that the season is specifically called Dark Ages Season Part 1. And so what that means is the next two seasons, both April and May, will be themed to the Dark Ages.
So have we, this very silly question, have we seen the skin yet? Because I haven't, at least.
You've seen images.
It has not been posted, but if you look at the calendar, there are two skins, it seems, a Grand Warden and an Archer Queen skin.
I have to say, that Warden one looks, I mean, I know you can obviously only see his face, but I think that actually looks quite good. And I'm sure the Queen one will be very good. I think Dark Age is actually quite a good theme. I think you can do, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do. I think the skin potential is very cool. Is there going to be a scenery with this? I'm trying to look.
There is no scenery on the calendar.
If we knew of it, we could not tell you right now. I do get the feeling it would be a pretty dope scenery if there does happen to be one.
Of course. Okay. Well, I'll take that. I'll take that optimistically. Yeah, I'm kind of envisioning it like that horrible scenery, which I really hate. You know, with the black tiles. I've completely forgotten what it's called, but the one with like the black grass, essentially. If only I remember what it's called. That one I absolutely hate because I can never tell what I'm doing on it. I don't know why it's something on my eyes. I cannot focus on the really dark background. So if it's anything like that, I won't be too pleased. But no, I think it's quite, I do really like how they're adding themes to their seasons and having a whole calendar. I mean, it really feels like they're trying to add a bit more life into the game in terms of just a bit of diversity and having actual cool coherent themes rather than just whamming out whatever the hell they're thinking about.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy you said that because I remember one of our first or second podcasts, I actually mentioned how I wish they would theme each month, each season, because I know Clash Royale has been doing that for years. And I was always hoping that Clash Clans would do something like that. And this year specifically, they've seemed to have been doing that for every month. We had Lunar New Year in January, Valentine's season, February, and Colorfest this month. And so, yeah. And then the next 2 months are themed. So I'm thinking every month is going to have a set theme with set skins, set everything.
I mean, it's just nice. It doesn't exactly add lots to the game. It's not like they couldn't have made a Dark Ages themed skin pack or whatever. But it just kind of, it just brings that little bit of extra, oh, that's cool. We have a little theme, you know, what's the theme going to be? It's just something, just kind of sweet that we get. And also, it seems to be bringing us more in-game challenges, as on the calendar we can see that we've got the Dark Ages Warden Challenge and the Dark Ages Queen Challenge. So if you fling yourself back a year ago, we got, you know, maybe a challenge once every few months, which might be for a YouTuber, it might have been related to an esports event. But the fact that we have multiple every single season, which are also kind of essentially designed for you to try out the skins and have a look at the scenery. I mean, it makes everything feel a lot more complete in a way. And it just kind of adds this whole cohesion of having a whole theme.
Yeah, all right. That gets us through the end of all of our planned topics, too. I did see a couple questions we'll circle back on. But those of you guys in the live chat here, too, if there is anything else, questions for us you have, or questions you want to hear us go into with what information we can, and drop those in the chat too, mm-hmm. and we'll circle back to them. But the largest question I've seen for us recently, at least this is our first time doing this here live on Discord too, so a lot of people are wondering what this is and
who the hell we are,
and who are we? So do you guys want to do very quick introductions and talk about the podcast?
Right, yeah, well, I am Yusashin Rarikon, commonly known as Sam. We did Reddit Talks Clash on r/ClashClans using their Reddit Talks feature, which, funny enough, why it's named this way. It was great, you know, we had no problems with it. We've been doing this since, I think, January last year, I'd like to say. I'm sorry to all you Discord people, we actually had no original intention of coming over here. But Reddit Talks got axed by Reddit. They couldn't support it anymore. I think their lead dev went to Roblox or something. Basically, the entire thing fell apart. So we've now come to Discord. Obviously, still same name, same branding. And we still release all our podcasts on all the other podcast platforms such as Spotify or Apple. So you should be able to find us just by searching up Reddit Talks Clash if you guys ever want to listen to these episodes again and also see what it was like back in the day back on Reddit. I mean, literally not different at all, but if you're completely new, then it might be worth having a little listen. But yeah, that's me. Rick, do you want to...
Yeah, there's I myself am in the creator program with NDA and everything else too, so we do talk a lot about featured updates and what's coming on. I can do cool things and just DM all the creators too. You can go look at our back episodes, and we've had some pretty awesome guests. We've interviewed Judo Sloth, Clash Bashing, Clash Ninja, who is the man. We've talked to him a few times. Trample Damage, if you're on the sub a lot. Eric, we've had on. We got a whole big year planned ahead. We're gonna try and have a lot more really cool guests coming on this year, and we're gonna do it all here on the Discord server too. So go ahead, check out our back catalog of episodes. There's 30, 40 of them. We've been doing this for just over a year now. Spencer, do you got anything else to add, or do you want to start looking at questions?
I just want to say I really like the live chat feature of the podcast. Ready, we always had to refresh the comments.
Oh yeah, so yeah, no, this really is convenient. Nice.
I like that.
Yeah, this helps a lot.
And yeah, let's take a look at these questions. First one, how do you feel about the Clan War League matchup system?
I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because it's obviously not fair half the time, in the sense that you don't get matched particularly well occasionally, depending on your town hall, the same way as Clan Wars. But equally, if it is purely a method of finding the best clans, then I guess it technically does its job. I mean, I don't know how you can exactly have... You can't easily have a rank system and a balanced match-tricking system in the same thing. I mean, heck, just look at multiplayer, right? If a Town Hall 3 somehow pushes up to champions, they're going to be matched against Town Hall, you know, 10 pluses. I mean, that's how the game rolls. If you have a rank system and you are in a rank, you get put against people in that rank. And I feel like a balanced matchmaking and a ranking system can't really coexist together.
I think the biggest problem with CDWL matchmaking is that it's not really explained well in-game. A lot of people get really confused when... they spend a regular war every other day, and it's mostly fair. You know, it's fair as it can be, town hall to town hall wise. And then you go to CWL, and it's just bonkers. There's, you know, you could be a clan of mostly 11s, 10s, and 9s, and be hitting 8 town hall 15s. You just dropped or super rushed or whatever. So I think they could do a better job explaining it, and then having people set their expectations better for what CWL really is, which is just metal farming. If you're not a max down hall 15, like, I'm sorry, you're not competitive CWL, and you don't need to be. You just get your 8 stars, hang out, and then buy stuff and upgrade. Like, the point of CWL is to give you the tools to progress faster. It's ladder matchmaking, basically, throughout the leagues, and that really only works if everyone's kind of on an even playing ground, and that doesn't happen until you get to, you know, masters, like mid-masters and champs. So it's not really competitive until you're all Town Hall 15s, but don't worry about the competitive aspect of it. And put your heroes down to CBL, you goobers. It's so baffling to me always to see people who keep their heroes up for CBL. What are they getting wrong, Sam?
Well, no, this is what I got wrong. Apparently, if you are a Town Hall, say, 3 in champions, you cannot get matched with anything like a Town Hall 10. Apparently, you can only get a match up to a Town Hall 6, according to the chat.
There is a point, I don't know where it is, but there's a point in standard leagues and farming leagues where Town Hall stops mattering. Rick wants me to continue talking about heroes. Like, that's a cool name.
There, yes, continue.
Yeah, if you're a Town Hall 9, 10, 11, whatever, you don't need your Harris for CWL. Just learn how to 2-star. Like, you are hamstringing yourself if you are not upgrading your heroes for 1 week, a month. You're saying 25% of all time, I'm going to not upgrade the most important thing in the game. You're blocking off that week of time. it's, I don't know, it's crazy to me. Like, unless you know, if you have fun playing CDB well and you want to be competitive, cool, go for it. Like, it's a game, go have fun. But then don't, like, you just don't complain about how slow hero progress is if you're blocking off 25% of the month, every month, all year, to not upgrade them. And that's the end of my rant.
Yeah, no, and I was one of the people that did always leave the heroes up for CWL. And, you know, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I think I don't have a huge problem with it personally, because on every other day I would have all three or four of my heroes down. So, you know, on the days which I did upgrade heroes, I properly went for it. So it probably didn't hinder my progression quite as much as, say, others. But I also think I would have just got really bored if I just never had my heroes up. I think I am kind of glad I did use CWLs that nice kind of period to have my heroes up. I mean, of course, in terms of progression, it hurt me, right? Like, obviously, it held me back a bit longer. But I'm still not maxed now. And I've had my heroes maxed for months and months and months. So having that, you know, week every month where I could properly attack, right, instead of just sneaking up and farming, was quite nice. So while I definitely agree with your point in terms of straight out progression, I think it is worth remembering that attacking with heroes is fun, you know, and it is quite nice to have that 7 days where you can kind of just sit back. I don't want to say relax, but just play the game a bit more properly.
Like, you can time it where, especially when you're low level and the heroes go a lot quicker. They don't reach a week until like level 40, I think. So if you're below then, I mean, then you can time it out. You season bank hit, you guys spend CWL on day two, and probably, you know, only miss a war or two, and then you can do back-to-back wars. You catch the end of one war and the beginning of the next, and you put your heroes back down. You're not wasting your season bank, and you get them for enough. I don't know. Like, this is my rant.
Yeah, though, who can be asked to micromanage like
that? That's not micromanaging. But that's very simple. That is very simple.
I know. Simple stuff isn't quite computing in my head right now anyway, so, you know.
I have a question for you guys out in the audience, too, is who is a good builder-based, like, YouTuber? Because when this comes out, I would love to have a builder-based, like, YouTuber creator come out and come on the podcast and talk about it with us. We've done that before. We had Clash Bashing come out and on the Town Hall 15 eve of the release, we had Sen.
Did I miss that episode?
Yeah, you might have. I don't know. We had Sen, Sen FGR, come on and talk about the Clan Capital stuff. He's like the only big Clan Capital YouTuber out there. We had him on talk about when Skeleton Park was released. Yeah, if there is a really good builder-based YouTuber, let me know. Send me a DM, too, because I'm going to lose everything in this chat, too. I'm sorry, but just shoot me a DM with some names, and we can start reaching out.
I mean, I can see already people pointing out to Annie Gaming, YT, who I've never watched, but I have noticed, purely because he's always at the top of the leaderboards on BuilderBase.
Okay, yeah.
So, that could be a person that's worth reaching out to, because obviously, I imagine BuilderBase YouTubers are largely unappreciated as of right now, so it'd be nice to give them a good bit of a spotlight when the attention is back on BuilderBase instead of the usual big creators, who of course we love too, but nice to give someone a shout out who's been doing clearly thankless work for about 3 years.
Do you guys have anything else?
I saw a lot of other questions, but we are running out of time slowly. Do you guys want to hit some more? Or
I saw a lot of questions about when the Builder Hall update's going to come out. We don't know yet. As soon as we have info that we can share, it'll be all over Reddit. We'll talk about it here, and you know, like, there's nothing more I want than to, you know, like, get as info as soon as we can. So just keep checking back in.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a bit of a bummer if it wasn't even this update. Like, I mean, can you imagine if they just, you know, they've been hyping up BuilderBase all this time and it's just some tiny little content refresh or something. and they shot me. I mean, wasn't it true that Clan Capital was incredibly delayed, and that's why one of the town halls was was pushed earlier?
What they had said was, like, because the gap between 13 and 14. Was it 13 and 14? It was only 14 months.
Yeah,
right,
it must have been, because Clan Capital was before 15, which I always forget. Yeah. It seems wrong in my head, but no, that is true.
Yeah, I think they had said, like, they wanted to do Capital sooner, but it just wasn't quite there. And they knew that was coming, so they're like, all right, let's pivot and knock 14 out. And then that's why we had 14 a little sooner than typical.
Well, I think, does that nicely leave us to the end, or does anyone have a question they've noticed that they're burning to answer right now?
Don't know anything about the U.S. getting Supercell Store. Hopefully, I mean, go bug him. There are people who read posts on the subreddit. If you go and make a post like, please, we want the Supercell Store in the U.S., someone there will see it. And there are creators out there asking to make that happen, and lots of other stuff too, so... engage with whoever you can to, you know, send tweets, do whatever to say, hey, please, we want this. And like they Clash team really does listen pretty well.
Yeah, it's not like Clash Royale, guys. They do listen to us. I always think the whole fishing extended drama is a really good place to point whenever, you know, we kind of think about community involvement in changing the game. You know, I think the whole fishing debacle was a really good and positive example of the fact that arguably r/Clash of Clans actually did essentially, you know, without the community's kind of support and influence, we might not have got the extra account protection. So I think it's always worth looking at that as a beacon for why saying something definitely doesn't go amiss. But I think that takes us nicely to the end. Rick, do you have any shout-outs before we wrap up?
I do. You guys should check out Clash Champs. It's a pretty dope site. Just saying hey. And then also, if you are down with the whole Clash podcast thing, there's another live one that should be about to start over on Twitch, too. It's brand new. It's called The Clashuals. It's three streamers, Zero Remorse, Clash Fan 9, and Big B. So as soon as we're done, if you feel like continuing listening to people talk about the game we all love, head on over to Twitch. It's, I believe they normally stream out of Clash Fan 9, out of his Twitch channel. But go check it out. Give them a listen. You can also download those guys on anything else. So just shout out to them, and congrats on joining the podcast scene. All right, what else you guys got?
Spencer, you got anything?
Shout out to the people who I recognize in the audience that are from the event server. And if you're interested in doing any events, we run monthly events in our event server. You can join it, win some gold passes, and occasionally some merch stuff, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I think I just want to give a shout out to all the new people that have come to listen, probably for the first time here on Discord. It's been cool doing it on a different platform, pretty similar to how we did it on Reddit, to be honest. And it's been a nice new experience, and hopefully it'll be a good positive change. Also, I want to give a shout out to Clash Not Ninja, who is somehow still listening to us at 3 a.m., and I don't know how he does it, because if I had the choice, I would be in bed right now. So, you know, I'm very impressed. Thank you for listening. And yeah, thank you to everyone for listening. You can find this podcast and all our previous podcasts on any of your podcast streaming apps. May that be Spotify, iTunes, honestly anything. If we're not on your podcast platform, I'll be incredibly surprised, but do let us know and we'll try sort that out. We do have lots of good interviews, like Rick mentioned earlier, with people such as Judas Sloth, people from Tribe Gaming, Clash Bashing, Eric, and more. So do go check them out if you have a spare moment. And yeah, we do this podcast every 2 weeks at 9 p.m. Eastern. So if you're interested in coming back, please do be around in 2 weeks, and we'll see you then. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Rick and Spencer for joining me today, and we'll see you guys all in 2 weeks. Thank you very much.